Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode, our pilot episode of the new New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast that will be here weekly on the WWE podcast feed. My name is Zach Downing, and I will be the host of this show. Just to start off, I can't tell you how excited I am to do this. I've always wanted my own platform to do a show about New Japan Pro Wrestling. I really think it's one of the hidden gems of the pro wrestling industry right now. The fandom for it continues to grow. It is a fantastic promotion to watch. It's really is interesting when you sit down and watch the shows. And I just wanted to start off by giving a little details about myself. I live in Ohio. I have two children, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. So they dictate my recording schedule. So if something were to come up one week and I'm not here, well, you know, I'm probably tied up someplace by my children. But in all seriousness, I can't thank Matt enough for him giving me this opportunity. I really have a passion for the product, and I am new to the audio world, so I'm gonna get used to this, guys, I promise. And if I stink, well, you can feel free to email me and tell me I stink. Well, anyways, I just want to explain some things before I get into what we are going to be talking about. So as far as how I'm going to lay the show out, New Japan puts on a lot of shows, depending on what exactly they have going on at the time. So right now, they have a Best of the Super Junior tournament coming up here in mid-November, and that is probably one of their very big tournaments that they do every single year. And it's going to be the junior heavyweights in the tournament. But before we get to that, and it's the main reason why I wanted this podcast to go out this weekend before, Saturday. So Saturday they have it's considered one of their pay-per-views. It's called Power Struggle. They usually put it on towards the end of the year before they get into all the end of the year things. They have a Wrestle Kingdom coming up in January that is like a WWE equivalent of WrestleMania. And once we get into all that as the show progresses week to week, we will start to break down the card and where things are going to go and all that stuff. But as far as the show being laid out, every week I want to just break down the shows that happen week to week. So this week we will be breaking down the card for Power Struggle. And then next week we will go over Power Struggle. But this week I'm going to focus on the card. We're going to focus on my predictions for the matchups. We are going to also, in my third segment, we are going to talk about New Japan of America. So, with the COVID-19 situation going on, some American talents haven't made their way back to New Japan. So, they are currently competing on a show called New Japan Strong, which is the American version of the New Japan Pro Wrestling. But it's not just strictly American wrestlers, it's everybody, and it's not even strictly New Japan workers, which I will kind of explain when I go to the card and what they have coming up and all that stuff in the third segment. But to start out, before I start breaking down the Power Struggle card, I just want to talk about, as far as New Japan is concerned, I really want you guys to think about getting New Japan World, which is where they put on all their shows. you don't get every show. Like, sometimes they will do a house show and that show won't be on the New Japan World, but they have a lot of shows on there that they stream with live Japanese commentary. They do all their tournaments. They do their Wrestle Kingdom. It's just a lot of stuff, and it's for $10 a month. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Zach, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, and I might not have the money for another streaming service. But, guys, trust me. It is worth every penny. And you will not regret getting this service. Like I said, you get all kinds of stuff with it. You got their back catalog. So New Japan started in 1972. You get like all their stuff from the past 3-4 decades back. And then that's a good way, if since some of you may be new listeners or maybe haven't watched the promotion too much, it's a good way to learn the ins and outs of the strong style, as we call it in New Japan Wrestling, to go back and maybe watch last year's Wrestle Kingdom or some of last year's G1 Climax tournaments. But yes, I highly suggest if you want to start watching New Japan World, you have to get the streaming service. So with that being said, right now, as far as New Japan is concerned and why it's one of my favorites, if not my favorite promotion, don't get me wrong, guys, I love WWE. It's right up there with New Japan for me. But right now, the reason why I think New Japan is the best promotion running, especially in the COVID-19 era, is they actually have fans inside venues. So I know AEW has had some fans, and I know WWE, NXT's had some fans on the inside, but New Japan is allowing 3/4 capacity in their venues for shows. They are not allowed to cheer audibly, but they are allowed to clap and stomp their feet, which, you know, it might not seem as good as being able to verbally cheer, but I can assure you from, you know, listening to the backstage promos from the wrestlers, they just appreciate having fans in the venue. And I don't think it's any secret that Japan is handling the COVID-19 crisis a little better than the United States, but that's a whole nother can of worms that I don't want to get into. But so having those fans, I think, really brings the product in a higher trajectory for me, because I've been so used to not seeing fans at venues for, you know, 8-9 months since all this started. So just being able to see fans, and even though they can't audibly cheer, just the fact that, you know, you're getting live, you know, reaction to everything, I don't think that can be understated how important that is. So another thing before we get into the Power Struggle card, which is on Saturday, I think a lot of people have a misconception about New Japan Pro Wrestling. They think, oh, Zach, I'm not going to understand, you know, any of the wrestlers. I'm not going to know their names. I'm not going to understand what they're saying because I don't speak Japanese. But trust me when I say this, I was in the same spot some of you might be just a few short months ago when I decided to take a chance on the promotion. So what has happened in the past 3 months is I just learned as I watched. Instead of worrying about what I might not know and what they're saying, I waited for the English commentary that hasn't always been around. You know, everything used to just be exclusively Japanese commentary. But now they have an English commentator who usually is in Japan, but with, you know, COVID-19, he's currently working from home. But so sometimes if it's not a big show, it's a couple of days delay for English commentary. But if you want to wait for that, I would 100% suggest that, because Kevin Kelly, who's the English commentator, he does a fantastic job at really helping people that are new to the product understand it better. And I think if it weren't for Kevin's commentary when I first started watching, you know, just a few short months ago, I don't think I'd be as knowledgeable about it as I am. So I think, you know, back to the misconception, I think that what some of you need to do is just, you know, give the product a chance. Go buy New Japan World and just watch a few shows. You can cancel it at any time if it's not up to, you know, your standards as far as wrestling is concerned. But I really think that it will be. And I think the more you watch it and invest your time in it, you will come to really enjoy it. So, also, the next point I want to make is, I think another misconception is that it's all Japanese wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But really, it's not. As a matter of fact, if you ask 9 out of 10 wrestlers what their goal is, I'm going to assume that, not even assume, I'm going to tell you point blank right here that most of them are going to say their goal is to wrestle in Japan. It's become a goal of many high profile wrestlers that that's something they want to do. And I think that should tell you that the style of New Japan Pro Wrestling and just the overall promotion itself is held in high regards even outside of, you know, the country of Japan. I mean, look at just in wrestling today. From WWE, you have Shinsuke Nakamura, who was in New Japan. You have Kushida, that was in New Japan before he went to NXT. In AEW, you have Kenny Omega, you have the Young Bucks, you have Cody, you have the Good Brothers in Impact Wrestling. I could go on and on and on of people that have wrestled for the promotion that aren't even Japanese. As a matter of fact, some of the top wrestlers in New Japan right now are from other countries. And there's even some Americans that wrestle for New Japan. So, enough of the, you know, trying to convince you one way or another. But before I get to my next segment here, I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this podcast, because I don't want this to be a school session. But, you know, some of you may not have ever watched it, so it's hard to kind of keep that balance of, I want to try to explain things, but I don't want to seem like this is a school lesson and not a show about the promotion. So, I know some of you have never watched this, and this might be the first time you've ever even heard about it, but that's why I will keep saying, go by, listen to, you know, Mr. Zach here. There's one thing I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to steer you wrong, I promise, and I won't lie to you. No lies here on this show. You need to go out and buy New Japan World. Just trust me on it. Go out, buy it. It's $9.99 a month. You can get a crappy $10 pizza and pay more. So, that's the last thing I'm going to say on it. So, Saturday, I figured the best thing to do is just go straight into where New Japan currently is. We are literally just a few couple months, just 2 months away from doing Wrestle Kingdom. As I said earlier, just like WrestleMania and WWE, Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome in January. But we're on the road to the Wrestle Kingdom. So first things first is Power Struggle Saturday. It's one of their big pay-per-view shows. So when you hear this, the show might already be going on, but you can still go out and buy New Japan World. And I'm going to, you know, New Japan World should, you know, they should sponsor me for plugging them so much in the show. So even after you hear this podcast on Saturday, you can go to that website, you can buy it, and you can watch the show. They're going to have live English commentary Saturday too, since it's one of the bigger pay-per-views. So there you go. You won't even have to wait for live English commentary. So Power Struggle on Saturday. I just want to go through the card, matchup by matchup, and I'm going to give my predictions, and I'm going to kind of explain quickly, because I don't want this to be a super, super long show. You know, my wife's out there watching the kids now, and I think if I'm in here for 2 hours, she might come in here and strangle me, and, you know, we don't want that. We don't want no strangulation of Mr. Zach. So let's get to the card here. And usually it's six matches, and what they've been doing is after the third match, they pause and clean and sanitize the ring, which is probably an important thing to do during these times. So, and another thing is about New Japan is the shows have been running only about 2.5 to 2 hours and 45 minutes. So it's real easy to kind of sit, and if you want to skip through the entrances, you can knock out a show or a pay-per-view in 2 hours, maybe less. So our first match is the provisional KOPW 2020 champion Toru Yano versus Zack Sabre Jr. So this is going back to right what I said earlier. They're not all Japanese wrestlers in the promotion. Zack Sabre Jr. is from England. He's probably one of the best technical wrestlers in the country. I'm serious. You guys got to watch this guy. He's a very, very good technical wrestler. And so, like I said, some of you might have never watched New Japan. So what the KOPW is, it was something started just a few months ago by Kazuchika Okada, who's, if you don't know who he is, even if you've never watched New Japan, I mean, just go search him. You'll find out real quick who he is. It's a trophy that is given to somebody who basically wins a certain crazy gimmick match. So leading up to it, there was like a 2 count instead of a 3 count. There was a you can't use your finisher match. It's just different kinds of gimmicks. Well, Toru Yano is the provisional champion right now, and his match against Zack Sabre Jr. will be a no corner pads match. So no corner pads. And if you know Toru Yano, he likes to take the pads off anyway, so he's going to feel right at home on this match. I think as far as a winner, see, Sabre Jr. beat Toru Yano in the G1 Climax that just wrapped up just a couple weeks ago. Or, not a couple weeks ago. I'm very tired, folks. I work, I carry mail during the day, and it's election season, so bear with me here. It just finished about a couple days ago. So Sabre beat Yano in the G1 Climax. So if I had to guess, I'm going to say that Yano will hold on to the trophy. It's a, you know, it's just a gimmick match. It's a good first match on a loaded card. And I just think that with him just getting the trophy, I think he'll hold on to it. So Yano for the win. Hopefully I'll start off 1-0 here. Our second match of the card is the NEVER Openweight Champion Minoru Suzuki versus Shingo Takagi. So the NEVER title, for those, again, of you who are not really familiar, is it's any weight class. It's not strictly just heavyweight or junior heavyweight. It's any weight class can be a champion. It's a belt that switches hands fairly often. So when Shingo had it, he actually tied the record for the most defenses before Suzuki, who he's facing, beat him just in August at the Jingu Stadium show. So it's a title that changes hands very, very often. So Shingo beat Suzuki during the G1, which is what is setting up this rematch that we'll have on the Power Struggle. If I had to guess, I'm thinking the belt, as much as it switches constantly, I am thinking that Shingo is going to get the belt back. Now, Suzuki, I'm just going to be honest with you folks. This dude is a bad ass. He is 52 years old, and he wrestles like he's half his age. And I'm telling you, just, you got to watch the show and watch this guy. He is insane. You'll never believe how old he is. But with that being said, I think just because this belt changes hands so often, I'm going to say Shingo will be the winner and will get the belt back. Our next match is Kazuchika Okada. Again, look him up. Best New Japan wrestler ever. Versus the Great Okan. So, the Great Okan just got back from excursion in England. I think he was wrestling with Rev Pro, which is a pretty big English promotion. And he did not drop a single match on excursion. 40-some matches, no losses. So, the reason that Okada and him are in a match in this card is, in New Japan, there's a lot of stables or groups that are together, and it's kind of like how tag teams are in the States, but the stables in New Japan are bigger, more members. So Kazuchika Okada is the founder and basically boss of Chaos, one of the stables. Well, Will Ospreay, who's another big wrestler out of Europe that is signed to New Japan, he was in Chaos, but during the G1 Climax, he betrayed Okada and started his own faction called the Empire, and the Great Okan is in the Empire. He actually helped Will beat Okada during the G1 from interference, and Okada has basically said that he wants a shot at Ospreay. Well, Ospreay said, well, you know what, Okada, it's not up to you what you want. I'm not going to give you what you want. If you want a piece of me, you got to go through my stablemate, Great Okan. So for Okada to get to Ospreay, which is what he wants, he's got to go through the Great Okan. So with that being said, and even though I haven't seen that much of Great Okan, I'm not really privy to English Rev Pro wrestling. I've just never watched it, so I can't really say I know his style perfectly, just from the couple of shows I've watched. So, with that being said, and how the booking is in New Japan, I am going to assume Okada is going to go over here, because at the end result, he wants to get a hold of Ospreay. Well, the only way to get a hold of Ospreay is to go through Okan. So I think this is a rematch that Gato, who's the main booker in New Japan, is going to want. It's what the people want to see. So he's not going to have him lose when you can already see the writing is on the wall that this is where this is going to go. So Okada's going to go over here. The next match is the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship Right to Challenge contract holder Kenta versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. Another name you need to look up if you're unfamiliar with New Japan. Hiroshi Tanahashi, that guy, another one up there in the Mount Rushmore of New Japan. So Kenta has a briefcase that has a contract in it for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship belt. He won that briefcase at the New Japan Strong, the show I told you about at the beginning of the show, the American show, because Kenta usually lives in Florida. He is Japanese, but he doesn't live in Japan. He lives in Florida. He won that contract in a tournament that was in the States. So, during the G1, he was in the same block as Tanahashi, who he's going to face Saturday. And he distracted the referee, and he smacked Tanahashi in the head with that briefcase. And it was hilarious because there was a huge dent in the briefcase, and he wrote an arrow in a piece on a piece of paper. He wrote in Japanese, "Tanahashi was here." So it was really funny because he bashed him over the head with it. So Tanahashi ended up winning the match, which gave him a right to challenge for the briefcase. So another thing about, you know, what I said, another thing I said earlier was, you know, a lot of the wrestlers in WWE, AEW were in New Japan. So the current United States title holder is Jon Moxley, or Dean Ambrose, however you remember him. And so he's the current United States champion. But with COVID, I'd imagine he can't get over to Japan to defend the belt. But with this, you know, contract being out there to challenge him, I have to think that there's going to come a time where he's going to have to challenge, or the title's probably going to get stripped. So Kenta's only had the briefcase for a short time, so I am going to say that he will win against Tanahashi and get his payback from the G1 climax where he lost. So I am going to assume that Kenta will retain his briefcase, and he will still be the right to challenge contract holder. Our next match, the semi-main event, will be the double IWGP right to challenge contract holder, Kota Ibushi, who just won the G1 climax. He's won it twice in a row, 2 years in a row, versus Jay White, another wrestler, not Japanese, who is a very, very, very good wrestler, probably the top heel in the company. So, a backstory how this match got set up. So, Ibushi just won the G1 climax, and when you win this G1 climax tournament, the winner gets a briefcase with a contract to challenge the heavyweight champion at Wrestle Kingdom for the title. So currently, Kota Ibushi, who just won the G1, as I said, is the holder of the contract. Well, Jay White beat Ibushi at the G1 climax, so he has staked his claim that he should get a shot at the title, or at the briefcase. So I think this is going to be an insanely good match, and the card, as we keep going, just keeps getting better and better. And I am thinking that Jay will lose to Ibushi. I think Ibushi goes over here. He's never held the championship belt, so I'm thinking he is going to win and keep his contract, and then he's going to go on to Wrestle Kingdom with that briefcase to challenge the current champion, Tetsuya Naito. So Ibushi goes over. And then our final match on the card are the aforementioned Tetsuya Naito, the current Intercontinental and Heavyweight Champion. He's a double champion, versus Evil. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, folks. If you've watched New Japan, Evil is just, he's not a good wrestler. I don't like to be mean, and I don't want to be rude, but he's just not a good wrestler. We've seen him. New Japan fans will understand what I'm saying. These two have wrestled against each other. This will be the fourth time in 5 months. And it's just getting to the point where it's getting really, really overbooked, I guess is the phrase I'm looking for. So, don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm bashing the product. Well, hey, this guy, he's doing a New Japan podcast and he's bashing the product. No, I think if I wasn't honest with you guys and I just, you know, blew dust up the promotion's butt this whole show, you guys would be like, well, he's just biased. Well, I'm not here to be biased. If something sucks, I'm going to tell you guys it sucks. And this sucks. Naito is going to win. He's going to keep the belts. And I pray to God that after this crap is over. I'm tired of this match. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see it anymore after this. Throw this match. Write this match down on a piece of paper. Throw it on the fire. Burn it. Do whatever. Just get rid of it. Naito goes over. Whew. Can you tell I do not like Evil? So our last segment, and then we'll start to kind of wrap things up here, is New Japan, as I said earlier, does an American-based show called New Japan Strong. It's on Friday nights at 10 o'clock. It's a really good show, guys. There's not really a lot of backstory and vignettes and stuff like that to set up the matches like there is in the regular New Japan, but it's kind of like wrestling for the sake of wrestling, but in a way, it's not like how WWE and other promotions, you know, wrestle for the sake of wrestling. It's mostly young and up-and-coming talents that New Japan might want to bring in to the dojo where all the trainees start before they can wrestle in the big shows and stuff like that. So this shouldn't take long. It's only a 3-match card, Friday at 10 o'clock. The first match is Fred Rosser. If you know him, it's the former WWE Fred Rosser, aka Darren Young, versus Jordan Clearwater. I expect Rosser to go over here fairly easy. Clearwater's, you know, mostly on the indie scene, but New Japan seems to like him. They brought him in a few times, so. But Rosser will go over there. Danny Limelight versus Chase Owens. Well, Chase Owens is back in Japan now, so you're thinking to yourself, Zach, how is Chase Owens in two places at once? He's not. This was pre-taped, so don't think that he's flying back and forth. This was pre-taped, so I expect Chase Owens to go over here. Limelight is good. He's, you know, he's an up-and-comer. I expect him to, you know, make some splashes here, but not on Friday night. And then our last match is the J.R. Kratos, who I'm not really too familiar with, that says that he's a well-known figure on the California independent scene. So, yeah, you guys might know him better than me. And Rust Taylor, who was just in the ROH Pure Championship, versus Jeff Cobb and Rocky Romero. You guys should know who Rocky Romero is, and Jeff Cobb. He was in ROH, and he's an Olympian. So I'm going to say that Rocky and Jeff will probably go over here. And, yeah, that's basically it for New Japan Strong. I think, tune in on Friday nights on the New Japan World. You got to buy New Japan World, guys, if you want to watch the shows. Sorry. It's only $10. Like I said, go out and buy it. You won't regret it. Listen to me. Like I said, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Zach, not a liar. Remember that. So, just to wrap things up here, I just want to thank you guys for, you know, giving the show a chance, and I hope you will keep listening. I think as I get more used to doing audios and getting comfortable with stuff, it'll be a lot better, and like I said, my hope is to, you know, once a week try to break the shows down and break our future shows down and stuff like that. And, you know, I really want to answer any questions you guys have, because that'll help me make the show better. So if you have comments, questions, critiques, anything, and especially questions, because that's another thing that I want to make a staple of the show, is I want to have listener questions, so that way I can kind of know what I'm dealing with and what you want to know, and I'll do my best to answer them all. So please, please, please email me your questions. My email is all lowercase, Zach, Z-A-C-K, Downing, D-O-W-N-I-N-G, 24, at gmail.com. Any questions, please send them over. I want questions. Don't, please. Send them over, please. I need questions. And then also, if you want to follow me on social media, I am on the Twitter box, the Twitter spear, and my at is at capital NJPW Zach, Z-A-C-K, at NJPW Z-A-C-K. Guys, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much again for listening. Please tune in next week and go out and buy New Japan World. I'm out.